morning and welcome to the Print AM, our daily morning podcast of the big news story. This is Jyoti Malhotra, Senior Consulting Editor at The Print. I am in Kabul, Afghanistan, and today I bring to you a report on the first anniversary of the Taliban taking power in Afghanistan and what the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Islamic Emirate, as well as the people of Afghanistan, expect from India. Taliban foot soldiers were out in the streets in full strength in Kabul on Monday to mark the first anniversary of coming to power in Afghanistan. Machine guns mounted on the back of pickup vans or simply slung along their shoulders, while cries of Allahu Akbar were peppered with celebratory gunfire. The government was shut down in honor of the anniversary. The bazaars were meant to have stayed open, but fear was disguised as concern, and most citizens stayed in. The anything-can-happen sentiment was all-pervasive. The city was on high alert. And everywhere you went, the faces of former Taliban fighters wreathed in smiles when they heard that this reporter was from India. Hindustan hamara hamsaya mulk hai. Hindustan dost hai. India ki humko bahut zarurat hai. Ye achha hai ki India Afghanistan vapas aa raha hai, went the chorus of comments. India is a close and compassionate neighbor. India is a friend. We need India. This is good that India is returning to Afghanistan. Just a couple of days before, on Saturday, I spoke to the spokesperson of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Islamic Emirate, a suave and sophisticated person called Abdul Kahar Balkhi. Mr. Balkhi is a young man and very unlike the rough and ready Taliban fighters that you would expect in the Islamic Emirate government. Perhaps that's why he has been put in this important job to face the world's press and answer difficult questions. I asked Mr. Balkhi several questions about the situation in Afghanistan today as it completes 1 year in power, as well as the expectations of the Islamic Emirate from India. He told me that the Taliban had helped give safe passage to India's diplomats and other citizens when they wanted to leave Kabul in the chaos that overtook the city exactly a year ago on 15th August 2021. When former President Ashraf Ghani fled with a few key aides, and now the Islamic... He told me that the Taliban helped give safe passage to India's diplomats and other citizens when they wanted to leave Kabul in the chaos that overtook the city exactly a year ago, on 15th August 2021, when former President Ashraf Ghani fled with a few key aides. And now, he said, the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan welcomes their return to Kabul. Balkhi said that the Islamic Emirate congratulates India on its 75th Independence Day. He also said that the government and the people of Afghanistan are glad and happy that Afghanistan has finally regained its sovereignty after several decades. The conflict is over, he said, but criminal elements and syndicates will try and disturb the peace, but we will always try and neutralize those threats. What is interesting here to note is that on Friday, Balkhi had issued a statement welcoming India's step to upgrade its diplomatic representation in Kabul. According to my information, this will be upgraded to the level of a senior diplomat, a deputy chief of mission or minister counselor position. When I pointed out to Mr. Balkhi that India had in fact not recognized the Islamic Emirate, he said, de facto recognition has taken place. Direct flights have been resumed between the two countries, and we are working on visa issuance and consular services. Balkhi may well be right. When I flew into Kabul last week, it was on a Kam Air flight. Kam Air is an Afghan airline. The services have been resumed, although it's only once a week for now. Ariana Airlines, which is another Afghanistan airline and owned by the government, is also expected to resume its services shortly. For the time being, however, no Indian carrier is planning to start its services to Kabul. Mr. Balkhi told me that India and Afghanistan have old civilizational ties and steps are being taken for de jure recognition. It is not in the interest of any country, he said, to see Afghanistan unstable and be a center that proves to be a challenge to other countries. Since Mr. Balkhi had talked about visa issuance and consular services between India and Afghanistan, I asked him about whether he had heard that India was reopening visas for Afghans. I pointed out that thousands of Afghan students studying in Indian educational institutions, as well as patients, medical patients dependent on Indian doctors, had been forced to look at alternatives when India completely stopped giving visas last year when the Taliban took power. But Mr. Balkhi indicated to me that some relaxation was in the offing. However, he was outright dismissive of India's concerns that the reason Afghan visas had been blocked last year by India was because Afghan passports with valid Indian visas could have been misused by other countries. Mr. Balkhi did not say or did not use the name Pakistan, but that was, I think, perhaps something that he was referring to. Certainly, one of the reasons that Indian government officials had given last year to me and other reporters about Afghan passports with valid Indian visas not being allowed to come into India was that in the chaos that followed the Taliban walking into Kabul and taking over Afghanistan, some of these passports could have been waylaid and could have been misused by people from other countries, namely Pakistan. But Mr. Balkhi dismissed this concern outright. "I don't believe that this fear is warranted," he said. "It holds no basis. It is irrational." That's why he added, "Countries have visa sections and consular wings to prevent incidents exactly like this from taking place." I asked Mr. Balkhi several other questions about women's freedoms in Afghanistan, why girl children were not being allowed to go to school beyond class 6, and also why Islamic State suicide bombers were continuing to target innocent people and Taliban ideologues, like Rahimullah Haqqani, who was killed in a bomb blast a few days ago. Mr. Balkhi answered. He said that the Islamic State believes that they are the only Muslims on the face of this planet. They excommunicate the majority of Muslims, Sufis, other Muslims that aspire to different interpretations. "The significant point is," Mr. Balkhi said, "that they have no support inside Afghanistan." I asked him whether people of all religions, including Hindus and Sikhs, were welcome in the Islamic Emirate. Mr. Balkhi pointed out that the Taliban government, the Islamic Emirate, had given support to Afghanistan's small Sikh community in the defense of its faith and of its properties in Afghanistan, namely the Gurudwaras in Kabul and elsewhere. He said, "Afghanistan is the shared home of all Afghans. Minority groups like Hindus and Sikhs have a long history here. We have provided them with protection. We have returned them the properties that were usurped and taken by force by the previous administration in Jalalabad and elsewhere." Mr. Balkhi's unexpected enthusiasm surprised me. But the fact is, as he said, and as the people of Afghanistan on the streets of Kabul have told me repeatedly over the last week, they want India to return to Afghanistan. They speak very warmly about Indians. Several thousand Afghans have studied in Indian universities and other educational institutions. They say they have stakes in India, in the fact that India becomes a big regional power. On this note, that's all I have for you right now. This is Jyoti Malhotra, Senior Consulting Editor at The Print, bringing you this podcast, The Print AM, from Kabul, Afghanistan. Do log on every morning at AM to listen to the best news reports from The Print's stable. We will be back tomorrow with a new episode.